With our kids in the midst of NAPLAN testing, the question is being asked again, does it work? Is it worth it? Could we do things better? Most likely to succeed is a documentary with enough film festival wreaths to fill a small forest, having been selected for Sundance, Tribeca, and the Seattle International Film Festival, just to name a few. But it's not just a film, it's a campaign in the US. Have a listen.
We divide the day up in high schools into bits of time, into 40 or 50 minute blocks typically, and then we ring bells and people start to shuffle around the building and do something else. That's an organizational device, it's not an educational principle.
10 university heads in 1890 said, in 11th grade, everyone should learn chemistry. In senior year, everyone should learn physics. A lot of these subjects are great, but these priorities were dictated 124 years ago.
The old blue-collar industrial model of education is already gone. We're already living in its wake.
What happens to society when hundreds of millions of people have that aimless, rudderless feeling of, I've been replaced by a very small box? I don't know if there's a solution.
That's some audio from the documentary Most Likely to Succeed. And my guest is Jack Goodman, CEO and founder of Your Tutor. Good morning, Jack.
Oh, good morning.
For those of us who haven't seen the documentary, what's it about?
Look, it's I think it deserves all those wreaths. And if you go to look at their website, you can watch the trailer that you just played the clip from. What it's really about is making a case for rethinking the fundamental premise of school education, particularly high school education, and saying that this 100-plus-year-old model of structured classroom-based learning in 1 hour time blocks with very specific disciplines and sort of teaching from a textbook or a teacher instructing and students learning is really outmoded, and that the world has changed now in such fundamental ways that we really need to move towards what they describe as sort of project-based learning. And that involves sort of interdisciplinary learning, sort of mixing subjects together, mixing, industrial arts and maths and maybe geography, or mixing ancient history and chemistry, and coming up with ways for students to work in groups, in teams, to develop a whole range of communication and collaboration skills that are really sort of core to 21st century living and working, and which really aren't taught in traditional schools.
As you've said, Most Likely to Succeed is a real challenge to the traditional approach to education, particularly for teachers, but also for parents and students. Now, this is an American film. How does their curriculum compare to ours, Jack?
Yeah, look, I mean, the curriculum in the U.S., I would say, first, I would just say, you probably talk about my accent. I'm actually originally from over there, from New York, but I've been in Australia for a better part of a couple of decades. There isn't one curriculum over there like there is here, and we're really lucky to have the curriculum that we do. They've got 50 different curricula in the U.S., and overall, it just doesn't tend to be nearly as challenging for high school students. A pretty good high school education here is probably closer to an exceptional high school education in terms of what you learn and what you're expected to achieve in the US.
Okay. So do you think our curriculum is due for a revamp here in Australia? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's not so much that the curriculum, is due for revamp as much as, because we've just been through that process with this national curriculum in the last sort of 5 or 6 years. But what I think the film challenges us to think about is how do we teach the curriculum, and what sorts of skills do we want our young people to learn while they're in the process of learning this curriculum? And is the content in the curriculum as important as some of the other, what we call softer skills are, those sort of collaboration, communication, teamwork type skills that really are critical to succeeding in a modern workplace?
I'm speaking to Jack Goodman. He is CEO and founder of Your Tutor, and we're talking about the Most Likely to Succeed documentary. Jack, what would be the first thing you would change with regard to our curriculum or the way we teach if you were in charge?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Let me just back up for a second, just give you a couple of anecdotes, which are sort of the premise for the film, and this will help all your listeners sort of understand what the challenge is here. So they start off with this film with some clips. You might remember Garry Kasparov, the greatest chess player ever. And in 1999, he actually lost to a computer, this Watson computer by Deep Blue from IBM, right? And it was an amazing moment when the first sort of artificial intelligence was able to beat the smartest person in the world at a game. Now, chess, actually, really, really complicated game, but very simple set of rules, actually. And you could obviously teach the computer to be unbelievably good. Well, about a decade and a half later, the next sort of amazing moment in this artificial intelligence sort of described in the film is when another version, an updated version of Deep Blue, I guess Watson, defeats the world's greatest Jeopardy player, the game show Jeopardy, at that game. And he was the guy who was the champion to that point, was a computer programmer, was an incredibly smart person. And Jeopardy, if you don't know the game, it's full of metaphors. It's all full of all sorts of wordplay. It's really kind of complicated, and it's hard to think of a computer thinking like that. But this computer just obliterated this guy. And he and some of those other people you heard in there, sort of educational experts, a guy named Ken Robinson, who's a real thought leader, and Sal Khan, who's also been really a pioneer in this whole idea of online learning and helping students to really learn at their own pace, all recognizing, my gosh, computers are going to, in fact, they already are taking so many of the jobs people have done in the past. And it's just that what we're seeing now is we're hitting an inflection point, and we are going to see in the next few years, for example, truck driving jobs are already going away. They're going to be completely gone in the very near future, and it's going to be machines, robots driving trucks. What are people who learn to drive trucks going to do? It's going to be a real challenge for society, and that's just the very beginning. So getting to your question, the reason we need to make some changes is because the age of machines is upon us, and we won't be employable if we don't figure out ways to use higher thinking order capacity of human beings to work in teams, to work collaboratively, to share information, to think creatively. So I think what I would change, if I could, is not so much what's in the curriculum as I would change how students are taught, and getting teachers to open up their minds to some of these, cross-departmental collaborative learning opportunities, and really helping teachers, giving them professional development opportunities so that they open their minds. So when I saw this film, I went to my kid's high school in suburban Sydney, and this is just a local public school, and the principal wanted to show this film because he said, we're trying to do some of these things, not as much as is happening in the film, but we're trying. And believe me, he said, actually, it's harder to teach the teachers to make this change than it is to get the students to make the change.
Is that because they have such big workloads, Jack?
I don't think it's so much the workload, although teachers are busy and have a lot on their plate. It has more to do with the fact that so many teachers, like all of us, get comfortable working in certain patterns. And if you've been teaching in a particular way for probably 10 years or more, it's hard to think of reimagining how you might go about teaching algebra, for example. And just give an example, he described a project-based learning opportunity for, I think it was year 7 students this year, where he managed to get a group of math teachers to participate with their students with some part of the arts program, and to use algebra to effectively prove that the mathematics behind the Harry Potter series of books and films was false, and that if you could debunk many of the elements of Harry Potter. Now, I'm not the world's biggest Harry Potter fan, so I can't go into any more detail than that, but apparently it was a great exercise for the students. It really engaged them. It got them into the algebra, and it did it in a way that it got them working together in solving problems in a really interesting way.
All right, Jack, I've got a big question for you. Our kids are going through NAPLAN at the moment.
Yeah.
What do you think the production team of the doco would say about NAPLAN testing?
So I don't think they'd be as down on NAPLAN testing as actually you might think. I don't think any of the folks in the DOCO are really would be big fans of, they're not fans of factory learning. They're not fans of all of that, and I don't think anyone should be. But I think what NAPLAN is not saying, and I think we need to make that distinction. That NAPLAN is not saying, this is what learning should be like all the time, every day, and just be rote learning and memorize this stuff. What it's basically saying is there is, for you to participate in our knowledge-based society, in the knowledge economy that's emerging, you do need a fundamental level of literacy and numeracy skills as the foundation of what comes on top. And project-based learning will not work if you don't have some of those basic maths and English skills. And so I think what they would say is, is this the best way to check if each student and schools are achieving? I think it has more to do with how much sort of weight or pressure we as parents and educators and as a society put on the actual moment of NAPLAN as anything else. But we really do need to measure the achievement at that level in some way. And the only way to really do it is to try and do something like NAPLAN. With that said, people shouldn't, there's just no reason to get stressed out or worked up about it, because as many people have said, it's a single snapshot in time. It's one particular day. It doesn't show any one particular person's rate of improvement in particular. It doesn't really show, it's really more about statistical measurement of the education system. But as a parent, I got to tell you, every parent does want to look at those things and sees a reflection of themselves in their child's results. And that's really the rub.
Mm. Jack, it's been a great chat. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Hey, thanks, Christine. I really enjoyed it.